These are the lessons that we've looked at so far in this series of messages. These are the thoughts, the concepts, the ideas that we've tried to present to you about what it means to be the church, especially in our relationships with one another. What does it mean to be the people of God inside this building, inside these walls? And here in kind of synopsis form are some of what we've tried to emphasize over the last few months. It means that we're all part of the body of Christ. We're all members of His body. We're different. We have different abilities. We have different strengths. We have different gifts, different experiences. And every one of those gifts, every one of those strengths, every one of those resources is needed. No one who is a member of this family is unimportant. If you're a part of the university family, if you're a part of this body of believers here, this local body of believers that are committed to Christ and committed to one another, then you are a part of the whole and you are needed. Your gifts are needed. Your abilities are needed. You have something to contribute to this body as we try to be the people God wants us to be in this community. We talked about how we're connected to each other in meaningful ways. Together is better is something that hopefully resonates with you as I use that phrase. Together is better. God has not called us to follow Christ as individuals. He has called us to follow Christ in community with other believers. And we are at our best when we are connected to other members of the body in significant and meaningful ways. A guy by the name of George Phillips writes about something he calls amputated saints. Kind of a gruesome image there. But what he means by that is Christians who are severed from the body. He writes, "The problem with amputated saints or detached members is they belong nowhere. Thus they have neither the capacity to grow nor the opportunity to serve." As baptized believers, we need to be in community with other believers so that we can be challenged by them to grow and so that we can be encouraged by them to serve others in the name of Christ. Being the church means we're extending grace to each other. We've received grace, and thus we're learning to give it to one another in our relationships with each other. In the book of Galatians, Paul admonished the Christians there not to devour and bite each other and thus destroy each other, but to walk in the gifts of the Spirit, to extend grace to each other as members of the body of Christ. We're called to humbly serve each other, to use the gifts and the abilities and the resources that God has given us in ways that bless others and honor the name of our God. We're called to accept each other in Christ. We're different. We have different ideas. We have different opinions. We have different beliefs about any number of things. And yet we are urged in Scripture to learn how not to judge each other over disputable matters, but to accept one another in Christ as Christ has accepted us. And so we're learning how to accept one another in spite of the fact that we may be different in some aspect and in some part of our walk with Christ. Being the church means we're loving each other unconditionally, sacrificially. Following the example of Jesus, our Lord, who got down on His hands and knees and made His way around the table that night, washing the feet of every disciple there, even the feet of the one who later that night would betray Him for 30 pieces of silver. Jesus taught His disciples, "The world will know that you belong to Me by your love for one another. And so being the church means that we're learning to love each other unconditionally, sacrificially, that we are devoted to being known in this community, not so much for what we don't do or for what we believe, but by our unconditional agape love of one another. Being the church means we're forgiving each other. We're taught in Scripture that we are forgiven to the extent that we forgive. And so we're learning to be forgiving people so that we might be forgiven people. And again, following the example of our Lord, who looking down from the cross said, "Father, forgive them." We are learning to forgive even those who would wish us ill will or who would harm us in some way. We're confessing our sins to each other. We're learning to be transparent. We don't throw rocks around here, because if we start throwing rocks, everything's going to be broken, because every one of us comes to this place as a broken sinner. We can confess that. We can acknowledge that. We all have different struggles. We're learning to be transparent with each other, learning to take off the mask, learning to be honest, and praying for each other that we might be made whole, that we might be made well, that the grace of Christ might change us. And we're encouraging each other. We're using this time, the time that we're assembled throughout the week, to encourage each other to keep our eyes focused on Jesus. That none of us will miss out on His grace and the good things that have been promised to us in Christ, not only in this life, but in the life to come. There are other things that we could put up on this list. Obviously, this is not a complete list. There are many other things we could talk about, but these are some of the ones that we thought were really, really important. I hope that over the last few weeks, you have been challenged to think about your life, your walk with Christ, that maybe one or more of these lessons have really spoken to you and encouraged you in your walk with Christ and in your relationship with other members of the body. In a couple of weeks, we're going to shift gears, and we're going to start talking about what does it look like to be the church outside these walls. What does it look like to be the church when we're out there, when we're living among people who often don't know the Lord? What does it look like to be the church outside the walls of this building? And we'll be looking at passages and ideas and texts that talk to us and speak to us about what it means to be the people of God in the world. This morning, we're kind of bringing this part of our series, though, to a close. And I want to conclude this morning by issuing a couple of challenges to us as the university family. You'll find a couple of empty blanks on the handout you received this morning. These are places that I would love for everybody to maybe write something down, because this is what I'm wanting to conclude with this morning. I want to challenge us to change our vocabulary. And hopefully by changing our vocabulary, to maybe even change the way that we think about what it means to be the church. Since preaching this lesson, I have intentionally tried to change my own vocabulary. And I have to admit, it's not been easy. Even those of us in the ministry have begun to use this word church in ways that it was never meant to be used. And I catch myself wanting to ask somebody, for example, when I'm somewhere in town talking to someone and we're conversing about spiritual matters, and I want to say to them, "Where do you go to church?" I catch myself Okay, I'm not going to ask that, but now what do I ask? Some of you, by the way, your heads are shaking. You've had conversations like that as well. You've probably asked someone, where do you go to church? It's just become the way that we talk. But I want to challenge us. I want to encourage us. I know you may be thinking, well, Charlie, it's just a word. Does it really matter how we use it? But words have meaning. And when we use words, we ought to know what it means when we're using that word. And folks, we don't go to church. We got to stop talking that way. If you're the parent or the parents of a young child, I want to challenge you. Help your children understand that church is one day who they will be, not somewhere they go or not something they do on a given day at a particular time. Start instilling within your children now an understanding that church is the people of God. When you got up this morning, you didn't come to church. We are the church assembled this morning, yes. And when we, as the church, the called of God, assemble, we here do a number of things on a weekly basis when we're assembled in the name of Christ. We join our voices in a cappella singing. And we praise our God. Anybody who's been here more than once knows that's how we sing here. That's how we praise here. We share a common meal of bread and wine. And in the sharing of that meal, we are reminded of what Christ has done for us, of the victory He gives us over sin, the deliverance He gives us from the power of sin, and all the promises that are found in a walk with Christ. We bring our gifts and we pool them together so that the proclamation of the gospel might go forth into the world, so that people who don't know the name of Christ might hear it and come to know Him, and so that people who are hungry and thirsty and naked and alone can be ministered to in the name of Christ. We fellowship with each other. We pray for each other. We talk, we visit, we love on each other. We share our lives with each other. Sometimes we confess our sins with each other. We talk about ways we're serving the Lord. Simply put, we encourage each other to keep our eyes focused on the author and perfecter of our faith, so that no one will miss out on the grace that belongs to those who remain faithful to Christ. We are the church assembled this morning. But brethren, even when we leave, even when the last amen is said, we are still the church. We don't become the church when we get here. We don't stop being the church when we leave. We're always the church, the called of God. That is a beautiful concept in Scripture, and we've cheapened it to mean simply a building or something that we do. Let's start using that word properly. We're the church. We're the people of God, with or without this structure. God forbid that something catastrophic happened to this building. But even if it did, if an earthquake completely destroyed this building, Jeff Dunman's back there shaking his head, no, no, we don't want that. Even if a massive tornado were to come through this spring and level this building, the university family would still be alive. This is just a tool that we use to serve God and bless people. This is just a tool in the hands of the church. This is not the church. You are the university church of Christ. We, the people, are the church. We got to start talking that way. So I want to challenge you, change the way you talk. Even if in mid-sentence you catch yourself, whoop, that's not right. Let me back up and restate that. I know it's just a word, but as I said, words have meaning. And we need to correct how we use this word. Don't go to church, because actually you can't even do that. But we can be the church. We can be the people of God, the ecclesia, disciples of Christ, devoted to following Him and doing the works that He has prepared us to do in this community and beyond. Second challenge. This is not just sermons that we've preached. These are principles, precepts that we need to embrace. As you look at this list behind me, is there something on there that you need to look at and say, you know, I really need to work on that one. I've got some abilities, I've got some gifts, I've got some resources. I need to find ways to use those to the glory of God in this building, in this body. You know, I'm really not very connected. I'm kind of like an amputated saint. I need to become part of this family and use what God has given me to help this family be the body of Christ that Christ wants it to be in this community. I need to start looking for ways to be more connected to other members of this body so I can encourage them and be encouraged by them in my walk with Christ. And some of us need to really learn how to extend grace to each other. Please don't take what I'm about to say the wrong way. I don't want to preach to you. I just want to talk to you. Because I don't want to come off sounding holier than thou, because I'm not. But brethren, we really need to work on this one. We need to stop talking about each other and start talking to each other. You might remember the lesson that I preached a few months ago on extending grace to each other. In that lesson, I talked about an episode that happened in our old church building over on the corner of 15th and Main, where we did something one night and some people went out after that and talked about it, and it made its way all over Western Kentucky. And by Monday morning, we were being accused of having had a woman preacher on Sunday night, and that wasn't at all what had happened. And I used that illustration to make this point that if we in this body, if any of us, staff or otherwise, do something that offends or confuses or discourages someone, go to that person and talk about that with that brother, with that sister in private. Peacefully resolve that conflict. Love covers over a multitude of sins, Scripture says. And hopefully that'll be the end of it. But since preaching that sermon, another incident happened where someone on staff did something not intentionally, not as an agenda item, not trying to make a statement, not trying to make a point, just did something without thinking. And it really bothered some people. But to the best of my knowledge, none of the people that were bothered by this incident ever went to speak to that individual. But some left here and talked about it elsewhere. And before you know it, other churches in town were talking about us Well, did you hear what happening there now? Did you hear what one of their ministers did now? Type of thing. Brethren, that's not right. That's not how family treats each other. God has been gracious to us. We must be gracious to each other. If I do something that offends you, if I say something that confuses you, if I do something in an action that hurts you, come to me. Let's talk about it. In the name of Christ, let's work it out. Let's be gracious to one another. We need to work on that. That's what it means to be the church, that we're learning how to give grace to one another. Let's be the church. Let's strive to be the people God calls us to be in this community, so that we might be the witness He wants us to be in this town and beyond. So those are two challenges that I want to issue to us this morning. Let's change our vocabulary, change our way of thinking, start using the word church the way that it is meant to be used, as a description of who we are, not where we go or what we do. And let's really strive to be the church in relation to each other and all that God calls us to be. Church is a beautiful, wonderful thing. To be part of the family of God is, as one of our ministers here years ago used to say, is the greatest thing in the world, to be a Christian and to be part of the family of God. Let's embrace all that that means and work to be the people that God wants us to be, loving, forgiving, accepting, extending grace, confessing, praying, encouraging, connected to each other in meaningful ways, using what God has given us to serve and bless others in the name of Christ. If you believe in Jesus as the resurrected Son of God, but you've never demonstrated your faith in Him or identified with Him and His people through baptism in His name, which is a beautiful symbolic action in and of itself, we invite you this morning to come and begin your walk with Christ. And in that act of obedience, allow Him to then add you to His universal body, the church that He bought with His blood, through which God is now working in this world to bless and redeem His creation. It's a beautiful concept. To identify with Christ, to be immersed in His name, clothed in Him, and then to begin working with His people to do the works that God has prepared in advance for us to do in His name. A beautiful, beautiful concept of following Christ together as members of His body. If you've done that, if you've made that confession, if you've identified with Christ through immersion in His name, but you've not yet let it be known you want to be part of this particular body of Christians, we invite you, join us as we seek to be the people God is calling us to be in this community. Let us know of your desire to be part of this family so that we can use what God has gifted you with in service to the Lord Jesus Christ. We want you to be part of this family so that you can encourage us and that we can encourage you, and that together we can walk the walk that Christ calls us to walk. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make His face to shine upon you this week and give you peace.